you're dealing with lots of people at the same time, you know, how do you ensure effective communication, foster positive relationships with everyone all at the same time?
It can be a bit of a challenge sometimes, but I think the key is to keep that open communication. Don't hide behind voicemail. We do try to do in-person meetings as much as we can. Following up, listening to what the needs are, taking those notes, following up with an email after.
What trends and changes do you foresee shaping the future of property management?
I don't even want to admit this, but with technology, moving away from paper is one thing. And I also think that a lot of it, like with a lot of these new software companies that are coming out, releasing these apps and all sorts of things, a lot of it's going to go to tenant portals that the tenants help themselves. That makes me a bit sad because you lose that connection.
Welcome to the Mastering Property Management Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Sarbit. Join me as we delve into candid conversations with industry experts to uncover their strategies and insights for achieving success in property management. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, let's elevate your property management skills together. Hi, everybody. This is Jared Sarbit with Mastering Property Management. Today, I have the honor and privilege of having Darcy Smith on with Enright Management. Darcy Smith is a senior property manager with them based in Calgary. And Darcy, thank you so much for taking the time for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here, be part of the crew that's been on so far. So thank you.
Awesome. Truly my pleasure. Darcy, tell me a little bit about yourself. So, tell me how you got into property management. You know, what are some of the major milestones along the way to get there in your journey? And you know, how did you achieve the current level of success that you're at today?
Oh, boy. Well, I have been in commercial real estate for lots of years. I won't say how many because otherwise that'll age me. I started a really long time ago as a receptionist for a third-party property management company. I moved to Calgary from Saskatchewan, and I applied for jobs the old-fashioned way out of the newspaper.
Nice.
And I actually had two job offers, and one was for a property management company, and one was for a geotech, and I chose property management. And I started as receptionist and worked my way up through various companies to admin assistant, property administrator. Then I went into investment sales with two of the top investment salesmen in Calgary. And I worked for them off and on three times. I was a glutton. Punishment. Then I got into a role working with a developer and leasing, both for landlord and tenant, and then back to property management. And this is kind of where I find that I enjoy it the most. So I've had the pleasure, and not many people can say this, of doing the full gamut. So I kind of understand all of the background things. So when, you know, leasing guys do the things they do, it's kind of like, okay, I get it. I understand why, or, you know, developers and owners, why they do what they do.
Yeah.
So
amazing. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
When you're doing the investment sales, were you doing sales, like raising money or finding investors or?
No, I worked for Colliers at the time. So we would go out and do proposals to get the listing on large properties. So,
gotcha.
The Bow Valley Squares and it was called Canoxy at the time and things like that. Like they were big, like multi-million dollar listings that we'd be doing the proposals on. And, you know, if we got the listing, then there was a whole process to do it at that time too. So, yeah.
Amazing. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what are some of the key characteristics that Darcy has and holds that have gotten you to the level of success that you have?
I think my demeanor is one of them. Like I'm pretty laid back in that all. I listen. I'm not easily excitable, or I don't go off the deep end pretty quick, which a lot of people I find in real estate have that high vibration, and they're like, okay. I'm not like that. So, you know, maybe for my career wise, going through the process that I did, I think that worked to my benefit, but I was slow and methodical about it and took the time to spend the years that I felt were applicable in each of those those areas. So I think that's been a big part of my success.
No kidding. Yeah. And by the way, you know, as I was messaging you about the podcast, you mentioned that you have a podcast as well.
I do.
And I had a little listen, and very, very interesting, great topics. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
So that is my side passion. It's something that I do totally outside of commercial real estate. It was just one of those things that I kind of wanted to do to get outside of my comfort zone, but I'm also a creative at heart. And, you know, I like to talk about things ranging from sugar addictions to behaviors in kids to some of the things that people don't want to talk about. You know? And I've had a lot of good guests on, ranging from a life coach to a chiropractor to a small business owner who, you know, her and her brother left corporate to open a pet store. Like, it's been fun that way on people that I've had on. So
very cool.
I'd like to, you know, get back into on a regular basis, but yeah.
How many episodes roughly have you done? Do you know?
Well, I've got different series. So I've got one called The Sugar Chronicles, and I've got one called Dresses, Dogs, Desserts, and Dreams. And I've got one called OOF, which is the Organization of Ordinary Folk. So among all of them, I'm going to say probably 25 or 30 episodes.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So you've doubled me already. So you can teach me your skills. So,
yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Is there anyone in particular that if you wanted any listeners to go to, if they want to learn more about you personally, would you recommend going to any?
I would suggest starting with the Sugar Chronicles. That's how it all started. And I was trying to hold myself accountable for my extreme sugar addiction. So I would do podcasts based on, okay, here's where I'm struggling. This is what I've done. This is where I failed. So if someone really wants to know that I don't like to divulge too much, that would be it.
No kidding. That's putting yourself out there and being pretty vulnerable. So
yeah.
That's amazing. And has it helped? Are you off sugar?
I was. But then I didn't. I kind of went off podcasting for a while. I got distracted by other things and down a garden path again. So it might be time. You're holding me accountable.
Yeah, we'll cheer for you.
Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Good. Well, tell me a little bit about NRA Management for those listeners that may not know them.
So NRA is, I would classify them as boutique, under the radar. However, the two gentlemen that own Enright Capital are very well known in the Calgary real estate market, very well respected. So it, like, for me, it's quite a pleasure and an honor to be able to work for people who are that well known. But they do investment and development opportunities. They raise capital to purchase properties. They've had a multitude of different types of properties that they've brought on, then they've sold, then they've, you know, developed. Some of them we've kept, some of them we've sold. Mm. They've just recently ventured into the high-rise office market. Mm-hmm. So we brought a property on mid-October, and we're actually moving into that building on Friday. So yeah, it's exciting what they do and how fast things move with them. They took a property on a year ago that was probably, I'm going to say, almost 50% vacant. It's now 100% leased in less than a year. So
wow,
we move fast. Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. And what were their strategies to get it leased? What does NRA do different than the others?
I think NRA as a whole, we color outside the lines. So we're not strictly in this box of some of the bigger players that, you know, this is the lease, this is the way it's going to work. We don't stray, we don't deviate. These guys will listen. And when they're working with a tenant that they want, they'll listen to what their needs are and they will adapt and meet those needs. Yeah.
That's incredible.
it doesn't stop when the lease is signed. Like, it's amazing what these guys will do.
I can really hear that you genuinely are proud of the company you work for. That's really cool. And so how about yourself? What kind of portfolio do you have under management?
I currently have just under 1 million square feet, and I've got a mix of industrial, office, and retail. So I get the whole fun mixture of it, which I love. I mean, it keeps us busy. The acquisition of the office tower has been a lot of work to get it onboarded, and you know, dealing with the tenants and getting to know the tenants and that kind of thing. So it's been fun and exciting.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Awesome. Very, very cool. Tell me a little bit about, you know, the ins and outs of the property management world. You know, like you're often dealing with various stakeholders. You got the tenants, you know, you got the vendors, you know, you're dealing with lots of people at the same time. You know, how do you ensure effective communication, you know, and foster positive relationships with everyone all at the same time?
It can be a bit of a challenge sometimes, but I think the key is to keep that open communication. Don't hide behind voicemail. First of all, having conversations. I mean, these days, a lot of it is team calls and that kind of thing. We do try to do in-person meetings as much as we can. Following up, you know, listening to what the needs are, taking those notes, following up with an email after saying, hey, this is the takeaways from the meeting. Is there anything that you see that's different? And then following through. Like, we can't always say yes, but we can probably maybe make some adjustments that we can make someone happy without being at a full-blown yes. So that's the biggest thing, is being available too.
Yeah, right. When you're dealing with a million square feet, do you feel that that's, you know, are you being stretched, or do you have support within NRATE to help you with that? Or how does your day-to-day look like as far as, you know, the pressures of all these demands?
Daily, it's busy. It's super busy. Like, if there's not really any day where you're going, oh my goodness, it's only noon. but my personality too is I'd like to be busy. Like, I'm used to having up to 2 million square feet to manage. Okay. So, but again, because we're a small company, everybody pitches in where they need to. And we also have a really good team. Like, our building operators are absolutely amazing, and our operations supervisor is amazing. So we all work really well together, and we help each other out. So it's not stressful that way.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome. Balancing cost effectiveness with property maintenance is crucial. How do you and your team prioritize upgrades and repairs to ensure long-term value for both the owners and the tenants?
Like, I mean, obviously we have our budgets that we do annually, and we follow what's in the budget. Sometimes there will be things that will come up that are outside the budget. We'll go and gather our quotes, gather our information, present it to the owners. And again, this comes with the coloring outside the lines.
Yeah.
If we present the case and they feel that it's going to be a benefit to the property and the tenants as a whole, they will go ahead and say, okay, let's do this. We'll figure out how to recover the costs on a longer term. Or there's been some times where they'll just say, you know what, we're going to eat this cost. We got to keep this property running up to our standards and keep our tenants happy. So it's nice to be able to have that flexibility.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. One of the other podcasts that we haven't released yet, we were talking about, you know, is there a formula to determine, you know, whether you spend or not? But it just seems like that's just impossible to come up with, because every situation is so unique in itself.
There are some companies out there that, you know, I have worked for where it's not in the budget. Nope, we're not doing it. Nope. Like, just like stay in that box and go tough.
I bet it is. Yeah. How do you leverage technology and software to streamline the property maintenance process?
Well, that was a really good question. We're currently in the process of looking at our software. So we're looking to be able to get a software in place that covers accounting. It covers the tenant requests. It covers, you know, the whole thing, which is pretty difficult to find something that all encompassing. But we do, you know, we ensure that our operators have access to all the files from their phones or their tablets when they're on the road. They come in to the office, you know, once or twice a week to get caught up in their paperwork. You know, we deal a lot with technology like everybody does. So we need to keep up to date, but right now it's work in progress.
No kidding. So have you found a software that you think may be able to solve that A to Z?
We have not yet. We're still looking at a few and very varying opinions too, right? Like some people love this one and some people, you know, so it's hard, but we also need to ensure that we find something that we can, that will grow with us.
As we continue
to grow.
Yeah, so. It seems to be the common theme that when I'm speaking to property managers is, you know, it's a lot of piecemeal, different technologies here and there, and it's hard to find one that will take you through the whole process. And so you kind of got to manually link them all up and
and not forget to chuck one day or whatever it is, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day that issue is solved. In our business too, we have that same issue.
Sure.
Awesome. In a constantly evolving industry, you know, what trends and changes do you foresee shaping the future of property management?
I don't even want to admit this, but I think with technology, moving away from paper is one thing, like, you know, going completely. And I'm old school. I like to have my paper and, like, you know, I still have a day timer sitting on my desk. But, and I also think that a lot of it, like with a lot of these new software companies that are coming out, releasing these apps and all sorts of things, sadly, it kind of feels like a lot of it's going to go to tenant portals that the tenants help themselves, you know, whether it's their rental billings, their copy of their lease, all that kind of stuff. That makes me a bit sad because you lose that connection. I kind of feel like there's a shift going that way just because of the world we live in. But hey, I'm going to hang on to that connection for as long as I can. So.
Yeah. Interesting. I imagine, you know, that like the boutique businesses at some point will differentiate themselves because they don't do that. You know, and they say, no, you're going to get a human touch all the way through. And there'll be those people that will really appreciate that. I imagine.
Well, you still get the smaller companies, the moms and pops, and that they don't want to do that. They don't want technology. They want the old-fashioned.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to accommodate that as well.
Amazing. Very cool. As a leader in the property management world, what advice would you give aspiring property managers looking to climb the ranks and achieve similar levels of success as yourself?
Over the years, the comment I have heard a lot is anybody can be a property manager. And it's like, well, no, you can't. So I would say be patient. Yeah. It does take a lot of time to learn, you know, the ins and outs. You can't climb the corporate ladder super quick. Find a company that you think is going to fit your values and stick with them. Find a mentor who's going to guide you through the process. And when you're struggling with things, or maybe you don't think it's moving as quickly as you feel that it should, have that person that you can go to and talk to.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And back to kind of your story, you know, you hear that over and over again. Again, that's a real theme in this industry, is that people moved up from, you know, whether it's a receptionist or, you know, an on-site manager or whatever that is, and have grown, you know, in the industry, and maybe weren't necessarily thinking that was going to be their career choice to begin with. But you know, they kind of find a niche and they really enjoy it, and find a group, a culture, and of people that they enjoy being with, and kind of grow within it. And would you agree that a lot of people in the industry, is that what you see as well? Is it's the people that make it to the top, or generally the people that have put in their time, you know, and worked up their and earned their positions?
Absolutely. And it kind of weeds out the ones that are just in it because maybe they think it was easy, or they sort of fell into it. Maybe it's a family thing or whatever. Because I think you either love it or you hate it. There's no in between. There's no settle in this industry. But if you love it, you're in it for the long
the lot possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's really, it's a business of a million details too. There's so much that you need to know, or surround yourself with great people that you know those answers. So,
well, the other thing that I would add to that too is try your hardest not to burn any bridges, because I can guarantee you that maybe in 5, 10, even 20 years, you're going to cross somebody that you're dealing with.
Yeah. So, oh, it's such a small world, isn't it? And it I'm is. Just learning that as I've, you know, started this podcast and got more involved in BOMA and those sort of things. It's a very small community, and a lot of people, everyone kind of knows each other.
They do. Like, you may not have met them, but you for sure heard of them. And do not burn any bridges.
yeah. It's great advice. Thank you for that. Can you share a particularly challenging property management situation that you faced, and how have you effectively resolved it?
Well, I think as with anybody else in the industry, you've either come across a super difficult tenant or a contractor or a client. So there's those. And I think it's more of you've got to be patient and you've got to just put the smile on and coat them with kindness. Keep the communication open. Don't try to hide or avoid them. And then there's the other situations where it may be property based, where, you know, you've got a roof collapsing or something like that. And again, it's take a deep breath, stay calm, and, you know, sort it out one thing at a time. Okay, what do we need to do right at this very minute? That kind of thing. The other part of that too is my sort of mantra lately has been, if there's not blood, flood, or fire, and nobody's died, just be calm. We'll get through it.
That's a great mantra. Yeah. No, that's one to live by, that's for sure. It's all relative, you know. Problems are all relative. There's much bigger problems that we could be facing, that's for sure. That's amazing.
Well, nothing is, and I guess this goes with life too, there isn't anything that's not fixable.
You can
always fix it. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. You mentioned before we got on this podcast that you watched Melissa Ferguson, and she's developed a great program for just how to handle the stressful environment of a property management world. And I really like her approach. She's got a lot of insight. That breathing is a big one. Taking a deep breath. And keeping a smile, I'm sure, goes a long way too.
Arise, go forth, and conquer.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. Very good. You got a few good mantras there. Awesome. I believe, you know, I own a janitorial company. Assuming that, you know, janitorial is often one of the largest ongoing costs in a property, how do you look for janitorial companies? What kind of qualities are you looking for when your properties are going for bid?
I think a lot of it is the initial contact with a janitorial company. And the conversation, you can kind of get a feel if somebody's trying to be too salesy or if they're actually listening to what your needs are. And I find that touring a property, you kind of get that even more. And if the contractor isn't listening and they're trying to tell us, well, this is what you need to do, this is what, you know, it's like, okay, no, wait a second. This is what we need. When the proposals come back, that's a big key one too. It's like, were you listening? Because it isn't even close to, and relationship too, right? Like, you want to be able to know that, and this goes with like any of the contractors that we deal with. Mm-hmm. You have to have that good relationship so that you know if you pick up the phone and you're calling, they're like, no problem, we can help you with that. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. I remember when we first started our business, it'd be almost 14 years ago now, doing those walkthroughs, and you know, there'd be always those guys at the front that are like doing all the talking and doing all that. And I was so intimidated by those guys. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. But like they seem to have the attention, but you start to learn over the years, those usually are the guys that are not getting the bid.
Yeah.
Because they are, they're, you know, flexing their muscle the whole way through and not really listening. thing. They're just trying to sell and whatever. Yeah. So that's funny. I've always experienced those walkthroughs, and I always just try to stay in the middle somewhere. Awesome. Good advice. Thank you. For a few fun questions now, if you can manage any property in the world, what property would that be and why?
Okay. So that was a great question. I have two. So one would be the Americana Zet brand in Glendale in LA. Open air shopping center, and it's got residential attached to it. And it's just the vibe of it when you walk in. Like I've visited it several times, and I'll always say to whoever what I'm with, I would love to manage this property. I want to see the budget for this property. I don't know what it is, but there's something that draws me to it and attracts me to it that I start looking at all these things. I'm like, wonder how much that costs. Wonder how that goes into the common area.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Amazing. And then the second one would be the Burj Khalifa in Dubai.
That would be amazing.
Freaking fantastic.
No kidding.
That speaks for itself.
Yeah, totally. That's a spectacular property. Yeah. Have you been there before?
No.
I'd love to. Have you been there? No. My wife was actually in Dubai, I guess just over a year ago. And I don't think she made it there, but she says it's an amazing place, the architecture and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Well, that tells me a lot about your who you are and your personality. So that's pretty cool. I want to check out the American brand, you said?
Yeah. The Americana Zet brand.
Americana brand. Okay. I'm gonna check that out. Do a little, totally. little deep dive.
Yeah.
Sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then finally, if you could recommend one book to property managers that are, looking to, learn the world of property management or just learn to develop themselves as a leader or whatever that may be, what book would that be?
Okay, this is gonna sound really silly, but I go back to this book so often, and I have so many pages flagged in it, and it's called Who Moved My Cheese?
I got it up there. Yeah, I have it. It's on Spencer something.
Spencer Johnson.
Spencer, yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
That book has taught me so much about life personally and business-wise. It just stops you from going in that wicked circle of where are you going? What are you looking for? Career-wise too, you kind of stop chasing something that maybe just isn't right for you.
Yeah.
I love that book.
It's full of wisdom. I agree. I literally had my 10-year-old son read it. Because there's so much insight and lessons that you can take from it, and how to handle change is huge, which I don't think very many. I'm certainly not great at it, and I probably need to read that book again.
I know, right?
I totally
go back to it quite often. Yeah. It's on my bookshelf and it's right in the corner, and it's like, okay, I think I need to even just bits and pieces of it.
Awesome. Great suggestion. And you've inspired me. I'm going to read it again.
Oh, good. So,
thanks for that. Awesome. So Darcy, is there any way that people can connect with you? If they want to reach out, maybe they want to intern at Enright or whatever that may be.
Yeah, for sure. So probably best way to reach me is email. So it's first name, darcie.smith@enrightmanagement.com. I'd be happy to talk to anybody or offer some insights into my 1,000 years in the business.
Awesome. Or maybe they want to jump on your podcast and talk about,
for sure. Sugar. You are invited. We've already talked
Thank
about
you. That. So, Thank yeah. you. I'm coming on. We got to book it. We got to book it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. For sure. Awesome. Well, this has been truly a pleasure. You're really, I genuinely have enjoyed speaking to you. And I think that we could have a second episode. This one went by fast, but there's so much. Yeah, there's so much stuff that I think that you could share and insight, and like you said, with all your experiences. So thank you so much for coming on.
I am more than happy to have been on. So thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Amazing. Thank you, Darcy. Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.